Scripture reading today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. 22:36 through 40, the greatest commandment. In this reading, a Pharisee, an expert in the field of law, tested Jesus with this question. He asked, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Also from John 13:34 through 35, we hear about the new commandment. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Life is a precious gift from God for you. But life is unpredictable and can be full of challenges. One of the colloquial English expressions that many Americans use is "stuff happens." I'm sure many of you have used and heard this informal phrase or an idiom before, right? Yes, stuff happens in life. This phrase, "stuff happens," means that things can happen unexpectedly or unplanned, and sometimes there is nothing that can be done about it. Generally, it can be used to acknowledge that bad things can happen to anyone, even to good people. Or it can also be used to downplay the significance of an event, suggesting it's just a part of life. A couple of years ago, also, I was given a special book as a Christmas gift from one of the church members. It was a book full of church jokes, thanks to Bob Nelson. Bob is here, right here. This book is entitled "Sneakers from the Front Pew: Confessions from Two Preacher's Kids," written by Todd and Jed Heffer. In the book, I found an interesting section called "A Brief Stuff Happens Overview of World Religions." But I also noticed that they added some of the world philosophies as well. Let me briefly share a certain part with you. Existentialism says, "Stuff happens, but what does it matter?" Hinduism, "Hey, this stuff has happened before." Zen, "If stuff happens in the forest, does anyone hear it?" Buddhism, "When stuff happens, is it really stuff?" Confucianism, Confucius says, "Stuff tend to happen." Seventh-day Adventism, "Stuff happens, but never on Saturday." Jehovah's Witnesses, "Knock, knock, stuff happens, Catholicism. If stuff happens, you probably deserved it. Judaism. Oi, what? Why does this stuff keep happening to me? There are more, but I think these should be enough. And after having read this section, I realized that they missed Methodism. I don't remember John Wesley ever mentioned anything about stuff happens. So I came up with my own version of a Methodism to this list. Methodism, whether stuff happens or not, God is always with you with His grace. So keep on loving God and people boldly. Does this sound okay? I hope it does. Yes, no matter what, we Methodists are called to love boldly. And this is the first of the three guiding principles of our new vision of the United Methodist Church that I had briefly mentioned last Sunday. This morning, through the two gospel passages, we can affirm that both the greatest commandment and the new commandment are all about love. Simply put, we are commanded to love God, love yourself, and love everyone else. Loving is our ultimate mandate, our top priority, and our best opportunity to make our life worthy, meaningful, and joyful. And our new vision, first of all, guides us to love boldly. How can we then love boldly? Last Sunday, I shared a simple description of how we can love boldly. Love boldly. We are called to passionately love God and, like Jesus, embrace and include people of every age, nation, race, gender, and walk of life. This morning, I'd like to share with you my 3 points on love boldly. Number one, God loves you so much and steadfastly. In order to love anyone out there, even to love your own family member or a loved one, and whether you love boldly or not, first of all, you must realize that you are loved by God, who created you, guides you, and sustains you always. During this morning's children's moment, I shared a song, He Cares for You, with our children and with you all. Yes, God cares for you always, because God loves you. God loves you as if you were the only one in the world is a powerful expression of God's infinite and personal love, often attributed to St. Augustine of Hippo, who was one of the most influential early church fathers, theologians, and philosophers. Unless you realize that you are totally loved by God and by those who love you unconditionally, you would not be able to love anyone, not even to love yourself. Therefore, you must be convinced that you cannot be separated from the love of God ever. Apostle Paul's confidence and conviction should be perfect guidance for you to follow. As you all know, in Romans chapter 8, which is one of my favorite passages, Paul boldly proclaims, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When the prophet Jeremiah from the Old Testament witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians in 586 BCE, of course, with his sorrow and sadness, he wrote Lamentations. This book of Lamentations is a vivid and emotional account of the horror of this event. This tragedy must have caused a great deal of trauma, sadness, frustration, and even anger to Jeremiah. Nevertheless, and ironically, in this book of Lamentations, Jeremiah boldly chooses to praise God's name with his confession of a more hopes and unwavering faith, even in the midst of chaos and devastation. He wrote, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." This assurance, this affirmation can be your foundation of faith so that you can love God, yourself, and everyone else boldly. Yes, always remember, God loves you so much and steadfastly. Number two, God's greatest commandment is to love God and love your neighbor, everyone, without any barriers. What if God created everyone in the whole world, over 8 billion people, just like you, in the same appearance, same color, same language, same culture, same mindset, same upbringing, same fashion style, same taste, and same everything? I don't know if this imagination scenario might be fun and exciting for you, or simply boring and cliche. Yeah, every single person looks like, act like a robot, I guess. Anyhow, in this case, do you think then you and everyone else would experience supreme and ultimate world peace and total harmony because everyone is just like you? Do you think then people would be happier than ever because everyone looks alike, thinks alike, speaks alike, and acts alike? Not really. Every soul, every person is unique, special, and has their own opinions, own philosophies, and own values in many different ways. It doesn't matter, everyone looks the same, talks the same, you will still argue, disagree, fight, and eventually kill and die. Why? We are human beings. We have free will, but because of this, we can be evil too. This is our human condition. We are human beings with all different ways and different backgrounds beyond our skin colors, national origins, different cultures, and everything else. God created us that way. Diversity is God's creation way, and nobody can argue about who's superior or who's inferior. We all are God's beautiful and precious children in God's masterpiece. I already mentioned that There are over 8 billion people out there in the world in 195 countries. This is the reality, the world, real world we are living in. The global setting is truly colorful, like rainbow plus so many other beautiful colors. If you have never been to another country yet, I highly recommend you enjoy traveling to other countries to sense that we are not alone and that there are so many different yet wonderful people out there. Yes, go have fun with overseas trips, except for certain dangerous countries. Go meet new people and make new friends. You will thank me later. Even though the United States of America is probably the most powerful and richest country in the world, and I know you love your country, this country, but it is just one of the 195 countries. Yet, so many people from all over the world always like to come to the U.S. to live, to visit, to work, and to study for many various reasons. A long time ago, all your ancestors came from all different countries, like Europe, Africa, Asia, Pacific Islands, Middle East, and many other countries and places. We all are different races by God's design and creation. However, remember that we all are the one human race that pursues love, peace, and justice together. Yet, sadly, one of the constant fears that have been keeping many Americans from getting along with other races, especially other people who are different from you, is this false assumption. Quote, same is safe and different is dangerous, unquote. This statement is false because even though in certain cases this might be right, this is definitely an overgeneralized statement. So because of this misguided notion or caution, many people in the past committed horrible crimes and sins to the humanity, hating and killing one another. Sadly, today, still today, people keep creating all kinds of visible and invisible barriers that lead to hatred, discrimination, racism, destructions, genocides, and many other harrowing mistakes and tragedies. That's why we continue to witness so many ongoing and never-ending fears, conflicts, fights, and wars that are going on all over the world, not to mention famines. However, do you know who knocked down the barriers of hatred and hostility to bring peace to this world? Yes, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus himself is our peace. Apostle Paul proclaims in Ephesians, Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. Thus, if we really want to follow Jesus, we must dismantle all kinds of barriers of hatred and be a good friend to everyone, regardless of any differences. Yes, be a good friend, a good neighbor. Get to know them rather than having any stereotypes, prejudice, or bias. Apostle Paul emphasizes this point in his morning's Galatians. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Loving everyone without any barriers, this is truly loving boldly. Number three, furthermore, Jesus' new commandment is to love one another. Everyone that even includes your enemies. Bold love includes love for enemies. Is this even possible for us to do so? In Matthew 5, better known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us a radical, unconventional, and unprecedented command. Here is the passage from Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Jesus commands us to love our own enemies. What a radical and shocking command it is. And he continues to clarify or explain why this is important for you to love even your enemies. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Jesus' command to love your enemies means actively demonstrating kindness, compassion, and goodwill towards those who actively oppose or harm you, mirroring God's love for everyone, even those who would not acknowledge, admit, or repent their wrongdoings and sins. This bold love goes beyond simply not wishing them harm. It involves actively praying for them, meeting their needs, and seeking their well-being. So, why are we supposed to love our enemies? Because we are God's children who obey not only God's greatest commandment, but also Jesus' new commandment in bold way. Simply, even though this command sounds almost impossible, this indicates that if you can love your enemies boldly, there would not be a single soul you cannot love. Your neighbor is not just the person who is like you, the person who likes you, or the person you like. Your neighbor is anyone and everyone like you or different from you, friend or stranger, even enemy. We all are brothers and sisters in one family of God's creation. In this way, we can love boldly. But we cannot love boldly all by ourselves. The author and lawyer Bob Goff, in his New York Times bestseller book entitled Everybody Always, Becoming Love is a World Full of Setbacks and Difficult People, writes, quote, love one another, what a simple, often isn't easy. What is easy often doesn't last, unquote. So true. Love boldly is not easy. Yes, you need help, and your help comes from the Holy Spirit. The author and public theologian Brian McLaren writes about the importance of being empowered by the Holy Spirit to love in his book entitled, We Make the Road by Walking. Quote, where the Spirit is, love is. Where the Spirit teaches, people learn love. Faith communities at their best are spirit schools of love, engaging everyone from little children to great grandparents in lifelong learning. In the school of the Spirit, everyone majors in love. Unquote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible is an amazing story of God's bold love for you and for everyone on this earth. And we are called to love one another boldly, without fear, and without barriers. I'm sure many of you still remember what the Irish poet William Butler Yeats once said, quote, a stranger is a friend you haven't met yet, unquote. In this sense, in this world, there are indeed so many friends you have not met yet. So, starting today, why don't you go out to the community and to the world so that you can be a good friend first to everyone you encounter by loving boldly. Share God's love through your words and deeds of kindness, grace, and encouragement with everyone you meet and everywhere you go. This is an amazing way of loving boldly. Next Sunday, I will be sharing my next sermon, Serve Joyfully, with you. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.